This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Barbara Humpton. Barbara is Senior Vice President of Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Roger.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know we're going to talk a lot about infrastructure and healthcare and smart building technologies and automation technologies, all those kind of, and renewables. That always fascinates me, renewables. But first, Barbara, you are a 25-year veteran of government procurement. And I'd like to, you can give the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you came to Siemens. And, interestingly enough, I always like to ask people how they got into government contracts. So that's about three different questions in one. So,
yeah, where shall I begin? Thanks. I actually happened into this. I was a graduate of Wake Forest University, had a math degree. And I told my family, IBM came down with a bus and picked up as many math majors as they could get. Lo and behold, there I was working for IBM as a programmer in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And over the years, IBM did sell its federal business. I became part of Lockheed Martin. And through all of these transitions, had the opportunity to work on a fascinating variety of technologies. Satellite command and control, border security, biometrics. And in each of these cases, I was being asked to lead teams, and I've really enjoyed the concept of understanding a customer's real challenge, working with really bright people to try to find solutions for those challenges, bringing folks together, putting a plan together, executing, and really growing a business from there. So a couple of years ago, I had an invitation from Judy Marks, who said that she had come to Siemens.
And Judy is the CEO of?
Judy is the CEO of our Siemens Government Technologies. And she asked me to come over, join her, as she was building the team to address the federal marketplace for Siemens. A few years ago, Siemens had really recognized that the federal government is the biggest and most important customer in the world, and asked us to help them address that marketplace. So here we are, building business, working across the corporation. It has been a lot of fun and a lot of hard work.
Right. Well, I want to ask you a question, because it's fascinating to hear you talk about how building teams and understanding the customer needs and that sort of thing. So it's almost like the role that you've had and developed is that sort of connecting the company's capabilities with the customer needs. And I just was curious, are there particular keys to that when you're looking at, the market and what's going on that based on what you've learned over the years that you focus on?
Well, I think there are a couple of factors. I mean, number one factor is, what's your customer's biggest problem? And what we've learned over the years is, go to those really hard problems and find solutions for them. The second big key is, find ways to engage with your customers in a way that you end up on the same side of the table as they are. And what you're working on together is solving some common problem or some, trying to really find solutions together.
Right. You're talking about partnership. When you have a real contract and partnership, it's, it's working together to solve the problem. Right?
That's exactly right. And what you really find is, at its core, growing businesses is really all about that. Really finding out what you have to offer that is different, that will help customer, and bringing that to the table, helping them grow.
Okay. Yeah. And now we're talking, we'll talk growth, we'll talk the federal market. And, in terms of the infrastructure market and what, Siemens Government Technologies brings to that market and where you're focusing, can you talk about, I think there's about four different areas where Siemens focuses a little bit for us?
Well, there are. When we arrived at Siemens, a team of us set about really understanding what's the portfolio, and then where does this portfolio align with the needs of the federal government? And we really honed in on four key areas. One is smart buildings and installations. That's the biggest area. The U.S. government is one of the world's largest landlords and has all of the issues of aging infrastructure and, you know, energy usage, et cetera, that comes with that. The second area is that of healthcare. Two of the largest hospital systems in the world are medical healthcare systems in the world are run by the federal government. And here's Siemens with the full portfolio of imaging products, diagnostics, information technology that can help address issues there. We're also focused in on renewable, secure, and efficient energy. If you look at Siemens from the outside, we often talk about ourselves as a company that's focused on energy, and you see the full range from power generation through transmission and distribution, you know, all the way to the local users. So we have real offerings there, and we can talk some more about that. And then there's this fascinating area of automation technology. Siemens' roots are in industry automation. And we can bring tools from that realm to meet the needs of the federal government in everything from product lifecycle management to the kinds of controls that operate inside the DoD's own manufacturing capabilities. So with all that said, those four areas really are the core of what we at Siemens are focused on.
Now, when you talk about installations, I assume what immediately comes to mind is the Department of Defense, right? They're everywhere.
Certainly.
To your point, I think there's unique challenges in terms of maintaining or improving infrastructures, and with the federal footprint actually reducing over time, whether it's the BRAC or, you know, GSA disposing of buildings. You know, I know people have to think about how to leverage what currently exists in terms of, you know, smart buildings and that sort of thing. So are there any key projects or things that you guys are working on right now in that area?
Absolutely. In fact, the DoD isn't the only landlord here. There's also the GSA and others. And so truly, you can think of Siemens when you think of any cabinet-level agency. We have a local workforce all across the United States. There's actually a Siemens employee in every congressional district in the country. And so we're addressing the needs of those customers as we go. And I can give you some examples of the kinds of projects we've undertaken, whether it's upgrading building automation or installing new energy systems. We've done everything, say, at Marine Corps Base Quantico, where we're recommissioning systems to installing new cybersecurity solutions and upgrading automation controls. You know, at the Smithsonian, and historic buildings are actually a specialty of our team. We've been installing the heating and air conditioning and water treatment systems. And what you'll find is that the more specialized the building, the stronger the Siemens offering is. So think about data centers where there are tremendous power needs, and we have the kind of switchgear that would make electricity reliable and safe and more efficient. So that whole offering really is, I think, available to help the federal government meet those both safety as well as efficiency requirements as they make upgrades.
Right. And from your perspective, what are you seeing the customer focus on when they're doing these things? Are they focusing on the energy savings piece? Are they, you know, I mean, is it the automation? Is it, yeah, I mean, I just, it's interesting because there's so many variables involved to me when I think about a building. And you guys it sounds like you cover all the bases. Is that fair to say?
That's absolutely right. And I'd think about the problem in sort of two primary ways. One is cost control, you know, absolutely. And then the second is energy efficiency. With our current administration's emphasis on energy savings, we really do have a situation where building managers across the country are being held accountable for their energy usage and are trying to drive efficiency throughout their facilities. Now, layer on top of that the need for security, And it really does become the kind of problem that you need Siemens help with. And that's what we're there for.
Right. And well, right now, Barbara, we do have to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President of Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. And let's, Barbara, when we come back, we'll talk about energy savings performance contracts, you know, the challenges the government faces in that area, the financing and that all kind of stuff. It's fascinating. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President of Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. And I get that. I got it. I did it right, right? I got it all in
you
there, right, Barbara?
It.
Excellent. So, hey, Barbara, when we took the break, I mentioned energy savings performance contracts. And, you know, they're an interesting, you know, tool in the toolbox for the federal government. Can you talk a little bit about what are they? First,
I'd be happy to explain this. We get this question a lot, and it's this is a really powerful concept. Energy savings performance contracts run, it's a way of financing projects. And the core concept is this. If you're in a building, you have a known energy usage. You can baseline that energy usage, and you can predict what your bills would be over time. I, as Siemens, can propose to you a set of upgrades and maybe automation that would reduce your energy usage, maybe even provide you with some on-site energy generation. And through that, we'd lower your energy bills. Now, you can take those savings and pay me back over time. I, in turn, have gone into the marketplace. There's a whole financial marketplace that take on these kinds of projects, finance them, and then we're paying back that that financing over time. So you take this off your balance sheet. You're able to spend your budget on the things that are core to your mission while we pay for these essential upgrades out of the savings that you're experiencing. Once the project's paid for, you get to carry on with the savings from there on out.
Right, and it's to me, it's a potentially powerful tool for the government in you know, tough budgetary times. You know, the budget's not going to get bigger. You know, we've heard for the first time that procurement dollars have actually gone below $500 billion in quite a while. Right, I think it's $460 billion or something like that. At least that's the last number here I heard, something around that. So here's an opportunity for the government to save money and invest at the same time. Does that, I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
It makes
right?
perfect sense. And what we're really doing is using the assets of the government and upgrading those assets and using the value of that totally off the balance sheet. Yes.
Right. And the way the contracts work, right, is they pay you a percentage of the savings. Is that right? Or
yeah, well, here's the way it works. I, as the person who will be constructing the project, will actually make a guarantee to you to drive savings. You know, if I were to change the temperature controls in your building, for instance.
In the studio right now, it's freezing, Barbara.
So
they're not spending any money on any energy right now.
Okay,
I can tell you that right now.
Let's look a little further afield and see if we can find some places where we could, you know, either through your heating and air conditioning, through just general energy efficiency upgrades in the utilities that you use here, if we could guarantee you savings, what we'll do is we'll pay for those upgrades ourselves. Because it's a guaranteed saving, we're good for it. So what you'll do is pay back out of the savings you incur, some or all of the savings you incur, until the project is paid for. If we don't deliver the guaranteed savings, we'll actually pay the bank.
Okay. So it's for the government, it's a win-win.
It's absolutely a win-win. And we've been really working hard to educate government customers about this. But, you know, actually the best thing that happened with energy savings performance contracting came a couple of years ago when President Obama challenged the federal government to drive more than $2 billion worth of energy savings performance contracts. That challenge closed at the end of 2013, because of shutdown and such. We obviously we're finishing up the work that needs to be done to close those projects. But across government, they have been able to identify projects, get them implemented. We're well on our way. And Roger, I'd love to tell you about just, you know, a couple of the really innovative things we've done under energy savings. One of the best examples is actually something that's going on today. The Department of Energy wanted a wind farm, and it's the largest wind farm in the federal government. Siemens won the contract to build that for them under this ESPC concept. So down in Amarillo, Texas, at the Pantex, at the Pantex facility, as of today, Congressman Thornberry is there for a blade signing. The final blade for our wind turbines has just arrived, and we'll be completing the construction. We're ahead of schedule. But what'll happen is the power that gets generated by that wind farm will actually offset some of the electricity they've been paying for. We're also responsible for the largest solar project that's been done for the Army down at the White Sands Missile Range. And right now we're working with Fort Irwin on a biomass project. So this kind of power generation as part of the
I have to stop
contract.
Right there. You explain to me, what is biomass?
Biomass is, let's see, can you convert waste to energy? Absolutely. We can gasify all kinds of materials and really turn that into electricity.
Sure. Okay. I got it. So you know, you talked about $2 billion that President Obama's challenge and some of the examples, which are great examples of things. So, is it a $2 billion market? Is it bigger than that?
Bigger than that. Yeah. It's far bigger than that. That's been a couple of studies. What would be worthwhile is a comprehensive audit, and we know that that's still in the offing. But for now, at the very least, we know there's another $7 to $9 billion that have already been identified. There are estimates that it could be as high as $20 billion worth of additional savings that could be.
Now you're talking real money there.
Now we're talking real money.
I think the idea of a comprehensive audit just to figure out where the opportunities are, that makes good business sense for the government to do.
Yeah, say win-win?
Yeah, that is a big win-win. Mm-hmm. So when you do one of these projects, do you, whether it's a, let's talk a little bit different, like when you go in to try to improve the energy efficiency of a building, you guys are the ones responsible for going in and like actually analyzing the building, then developing and designing a solution that meets the government's goals. You do soup to nuts. Is that
right? That's right. The way the process works is there is a competition. Both the Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of Energy have contracts with multiple awards. So there are about 16 of us who are capable of going in and bidding for the privilege of taking on one of these jobs. And what the government will do is select either one or in certain cases a couple of us. And we really think it's in the customer's best interest to select a bidder to really partner with them and carry on through what's really an assessment of the energy efficiency opportunity. And then ultimately,
this is your idea that we talked about in the first segment, sitting on the same side of the table as the customer, right?
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can get side by side and be very open about what's available there at an installation or in a single building, and then, truly peel back the opportunities, work together to find creative solutions, which, quite frankly, when you're in a competitive situation, it's hard for a customer they just don't have the time to be working with multiple teams. So,
and then they get worried about making sure they're fair to everybody and all those kind of procurement rules.
So it's complicated. We're encouraging customers to use that initial competition to pick one provider.
Right.
And then to enter into this to find the maximum return. What we'll do is what's called an investment grade audit. And that ultimately, once we've done that assessment, decided which conservation measures we want to do, that lays down the baseline that says, here's your current energy use. And from here, as we implement our project, we're guaranteeing savings from this. The whole process from the start to finish can take as long as 18 months it is something that requires resource to do this the way it ought to be done. But once it's done and once those projects are implemented, then the government incurs savings from there on out.
Right. And then I guess the way you guys make that investment up front is you get people to invest in, you know, the solution, you know, in terms
We have real skin in the game right from the beginning. Right. So at the initial stages, we are working with government customers just to help them identify whether or not they're a candidate for this sort of thing. Once they decide that they do want to proceed and they issue a notice of opportunity for the community, then we are investing our own funds to really propose the best possible approach. When the customer selects us and says they want us to do that initial assessment, we're still working on our own nickel. If the customer doesn't find projects they're able to go forward with, we're responsible for that. But typically they do go forward because these really are compelling. And truly then, you know, what we'll do is go secure the financing, the funding for the project, and we pay ourselves in essence.
Right.
And the banks pay us.
Right. And what I get a lot out of this too is like the key here is communication between, you know, the company, Siemens, and the customer and focusing on that, like we talked about in the first segment, being on the same side of the table, that's where you're going to get the best bang for the buck.
That's exactly right.
Well, Barbara, we do have to take a break right now. Speaking of bang for the buck, I got to sell some ads. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President of Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Barbara Humpton. Barbara is Senior Vice President for Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies.
I'd say you were getting better at this, but...
lots of practice, Barbara. Lots of practice over time. We're talking about energy savings performance contracts and what a powerful tool that could be for the federal government in terms of, you know, making investments in infrastructure and making long-term savings in energy use that benefits the American people, American taxpayer. Are there other financing models, procurement tools that are out there that are starting to gain traction or interest that Siemens is taking a look at and participating in the marketplace?
Absolutely, there are. In fact, I think I'll mention two of them that have recently been used in the Department of Defense. One that we see quite a bit is the power purchase agreement. And this is really similar to an energy savings performance contract, but what you're really doing is buying your energy. It's as simple as that. So, you know, you're paying your energy bill, and what we're doing is financing a project, constructing it, and then, of course, the customer payments will pay back the financing over time. And some examples of this are the work the Army is doing on their renewable energy challenge. The Army put out multiple awards for a $7 billion contract vehicle, bringing four different types of renewable energy to meet the needs of the DoD and beyond. So solar, wind, biomass, geothermal are the four different technology types. I'm proud Siemens is the only company that was selected as a prime contractor in all four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but what does is, in this case, the contractor end up owning the assets, the power generation assets. So this could be a good vehicle when the government doesn't want to continue to own the assets as they would under an ESPC. And then there's another technique that's being used, and that's and you'll see this.
Well,
used.
With regard to the power purchase agreements, am I right that the beauty from the government's perspective is you guys are making the investments in the infrastructure, they're buying the power from you, they're not having to own, you know, the infrastructure, the equipment, maintain it. You know, maybe dispose of it at some point,
exactly
all that kind of thing.
Right. That's exactly right. And all they have to do is pay their energy bill.
Well, yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. That sounds like a great opportunity. Now, the Army is one of the focuses because, to me, logically, right there, they've got facilities all over the country, if
they
not
do.
Right, all over the world, all their bases
do.
And stuff.
That's right.
So,
they're aiming for a gigawatt of renewable energy over the next few years, and so we'll be. We look forward to working with them and fulfilling that overall goal.
Right. And how long has that contract been in place now?
It was just awarded over the past year. So we have projects that we hope will be underway shortly and look forward to supporting the Army.
Okay. And so, and there's another financing arrangement you wanted to mention there?
Sure. Yeah.
Started to when I so rudely interrupted you.
No, not rude at all. This is a great topic. The concept of an enhanced use lease, in this case, you know, here's our military installations often have land that isn't otherwise being used. And what they're doing is leasing the land to a private group who will then use that land to build a power generation facility or some other kind of venture. And so in each of these cases, I would say the government needs to make the decision, what are the aspects of this overall arrangement I want and need? Do I want to own the land? Do I want to own the assets? Do I want to be responsible for the power generation? I think the thing industry needs to pay attention to, and what we at Siemens are doing, is simply saying, whatever method you want to use, we can operate under any of these contract vehicles. We're there as the experts in the actual construction and securing the financing. So it's great to see. I do think we have some of the most open communication in government contracting today going on in this area, where the government is looking to private industry to say, hey, how do you do this? How can we make this successful? And we're, again, sitting with them, opening our past performance portfolios and sharing with them our best practices from the commercial.
So what you're saying is that Dan Gordon's Mythbusters campaign actually has made a difference area, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, with that, and with regard to the enhanced use leases, is how do you when the government leases you the land, are you paying money to them, or are you providing energy to them in exchange? Is it a bar? I mean, it's kind of
any number of arrangements.
Really? That's interesting.
You know, it's interesting. Siemens will typically not be the lead in an enhanced use lease arrangement, but we absolutely come to the table with someone who's experienced in federal leases, and then we provide the core competence of the project.
Do you see these areas as a potential growth? I mean, it sounds like with the $7 billion, I guess, ceiling on that contract, and just the number of bases and the constant pressure to reduce costs in the current budget environment, I guess it's a market that, you know, could really grow over the next 15 years?
This is growing rapidly, and it doesn't hurt that the administration is paying a lot of attention. In fact, increasing the renewable energy goals, we've seen a threefold increase in the federal government's goal to use power produced by renewable energy sources. So we know that the environment's right. We know that this structure is right. And as far as I'm concerned, the main sense of urgency is I want to get moving. Because we know that interest rates could very well be rising over the coming years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be important to secure those low interest rates, get projects rolling, and really give the government the full benefit of what they could have.
And, you know, I have to say, to the administration's credit, you know, it makes good business sense. I mean, if you can save, make these investments and, you know, do it in a way that, you know, maximizes basically the budget capability of agencies through financing, and they make investments in saving energy over time. That's just, you know, money that can be used for, you know, to accomplish mission in the case of DOD, right? For other things that are important, I think that ultimately, obviously, benefits the American people.
Right? And that's right.
Right. Hey, so another area I know Siemens is that you mentioned, that when I think of Siemens, you know, I think of the imaging equipment and healthcare market and what's going on there. Do you see, I mean, could these kind of financing things have applications in the healthcare market? Because the technologies involved and the equipment involved, those are major investments for hospitals. And, you know, we have the VA and the DOD and its healthcare delivery systems for our veterans.
Oh, that's a great point. I mean, this is an area where federal government is spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars, making sure that we're providing the best possible healthcare to our soldiers and veterans, corpsmen, Marines. We are absolutely dedicated to bringing them the very best in technology. Now, the cost of each individual piece of equipment is quite hefty, and we find customers able to make that investment, but more and more customers are under real pressure for savings. And so I think absolutely something to look at is those concepts of alternate financing. We've been seeing this trend growing in the commercial arena over the last several years. And so it's something we
think. And more private hospitals, right, are sort of looking at that from my
exactly.
understanding, right?
Exactly. We see a lot of hospitals choosing to lease their equipment as opposed to owning it.
Yeah. Well, that makes economic, I mean, again, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, and I worked in the government for 20 years or so, and you know, there's always that issue when you're making those kind of investments. Do you have the budget? Do you have the money? Or are there ways to, you know, have greater budget flexibility over time, but meet your needs? That's always, I mean, the pressure there is constant. So, I mean, I think that's an area where definitely there's some opportunity.
I think we will see real movement there.
Yeah. So, Barbara, we'll have to take our last break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President for Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President of Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. And hey, Barbara, when we took the break, we were talking a little bit about healthcare and, you know, opportunities there to take financing models to sort of to maximize flexibility and budget capability for delivery of healthcare for our veterans and that sort of thing. And I know Siemens Government Technologies is very committed to our veterans. So I did want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about some of the programs that Siemens has put in place to help veterans transitioning to the civilian workforce. And, you know, that's a big issue for me and for the Coalition for Government Procurement. We focus a lot on those kind of things. So I wanted to obviously give you a chance to talk about what's going on. It's a great story.
Oh, we've been proud to join you in the support for veterans. And actually, it's been a huge focus for the whole Siemens Corporation over these last few years. I'm proud to say that last year we were one of the 2013 Best for Vets recognized by Military Times. And the year before that, we won the Freedom Award. This is the Secretary of Defense's Employer Support of the Guard and Reserves Award. And the best thing about that award is all of the nominations come from veterans who are working within their companies. So we had several nominations from across Siemens, and we were selected as one of the winners. That gave us the privilege of serving on the selection board this past year. It's an important mission for all of us to help returning veterans find the kind of work that we know they're capable of, whether they're officers entering the management ranks in our company, whether they are former technicians coming in and serving in technical roles with us. We've been proud to place over 1,000 veterans since 2011. And there's more to do. One of the recent things the corporation has implemented is a new wind service training center. We have a very large wind turbine division, and we do our own service on Siemens wind turbines. And so we're staffing up. I don't know if you saw, but there was an absolutely huge swell of big new wind projects at the end of 2013. Mm-hmm. So about 25% of the people we're training now at our new training center in Orlando are veterans.
So, oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
these fabulous. We really are looking for meaningful work within the manufacturing sector and as I say, within services.
Right. Well, you know, and I would say, and I know you'll agree that, you know, it's good for business. It's good for the veterans. It's good to, you know, to support them in what they've done for us. But it's also good for business. The responsibility, the dedication to mission, all the lessons they've learned over their, you know, service, and, you know, on behalf of us, translates, you know, to a business organization into accomplishing that mission focus, and the maturity and experience.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I have veterans on my own team, people who've served in government and have joined us both in business development and elsewhere in Siemens Government Technology. And I'll tell you, there's really only one week of the year that's painful. And that is the Army-Navy football game week.
Right. I'm sure. Yeah, you have to separate people, I'm sure, there, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a great story. And, you know, I commend Siemens Government Technologies and Siemens, the corporation, for all that you guys are doing to support our veterans. But I also want to get back to some business and talk a little bit about that as well. And one thing that, you know, you touched on at the very, I think in the first segment, was automation technologies.
Yeah.
So what are automation technologies?
Well, it's interesting. Siemens is very much a product company. We build some of the most fascinating products that can be found around the world in these areas I've been talking about. A couple of years ago, Siemens chose not to be in the software business, but there is one piece of software that's absolutely essential in the manufacturing world, and that's product lifecycle management. This is the technology that helps organizations do computer-aided design, computer-aided engineering, plan out the actual implementation of their projects. An example of it, just to give you an idea of what it is a project that Siemens did with NASA. The Jet Propulsion Lab had the responsibility of building the Mars rover. And the Curiosity that landed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You recall the landing, those right. Minutes of terror.
Yes.
And a Siemens software was used to simulate that landing. Siemens was engaged in the full development of the actual lander and simulated the landing. It was practiced over and over and over again, in a virtual way. And, of course, came off flawlessly at the end of the day.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Is that software, it sounds like, to me, listening to you describe it, is it something that, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like something that Siemens probably developed to help it create its own products.
Yep.
And then took it and applied it. Hey, we can, you know, provide this capability to our customers as well. Is that fair?
That is a part of it. But
okay.
But I will tell you that one of the things Siemens did was look across industry and say, where is there the very best?
Okay.
And identified the product at UGS,
mm-hmm.
Pulled that whole capability into the corporation, and that is the core PLM
okay.
that you'll see in all kinds of implementations. In fact, you'll find that if you look across, say, the shipbuilding world, you'll find PLM installed
uh-huh.
at the shipyards.
Okay.
You'll find PLM installed in the manufacturing plants for aircraft. So, yes, a very broad presence in the aerospace and defense world.
That's fascinating stuff. And, you know, we are getting close to time here, Barbara. So I always try to give my guests an opportunity to, like, opine on, like, the big, you know, the big picture or, you know, what was it back in the mega trends or whatever you want to call it. It dates me significantly when I mentioned that term. And I haven't used that for years. But, just some thoughts on... you know, when you look at the market right now in the infrastructure market, you know, what are the key, you know, the big picture challenges that Siemens is thinking about that, or the customer, you're seeing the customer focus on that have to be addressed over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years?
Well, there are a couple, and we've been close to these topics throughout our talk today. One is just the sheer budget pressure we're under. The budgets simply aren't going to allow the kinds of, you know, large projects we've sometimes experienced in the past. We've got to find new and different ways to do things. But what goes hand in glove with that is the just general aging of the infrastructure. So whether it's transportation infrastructure, whether it's the electrical grid, the water grid, Siemens is focused on all aspects of that because we know there's a need to maintain what we
right,
have.
Right, right. Yeah, and yeah, and I mean, we're kind of like, yeah, you know, Europe rebuilt, right? You know, the United States, you know, we have an infrastructure that's been around for a long time, and you know, that rebuilding process is a sort of modular, I guess, as a nation, right? As we move forward, you know, picking the things that you can get done quickly, and then you know, tackling the hard ones as well. You know, another area, like, you know, I like to ask folks about, and you've been in the procurement biz for now for a long time. You know, if you could change one thing in our procurement system to improve it, as you look at it based on your, you know, your professional experience, what would that be?
Great question. And I've think I have a pretty simple answer to this because I actually think our procurement system is one of the best in the world. I think that the openness, that transparency, the fairness, quite frankly, is wonderful. I think what we need to tackle is the communication that happens between customers and their potential contractors well in advance of the actual procurement. I think we've entered an age where people are afraid to interact. We've had a lot of scandal. We've had things that have caused us to put down rules, you know, to ensure that these things never happen again. And what it's done is it's really broken the communication between right. the customer and industry.
Right. I agree with you 100%. I mean, I know Dan Gordon, when he was at OFPP, issued the Mythbusters memo. I think it's the most important thing that he did during that time, to put down a marker about the importance of communication. And I think it's something that the, you know, senior leadership across the procurement community needs to continue to emphasize, because it, you know, it's sort of like the unfinished business. You know, he laid down the marker, he started that process, and you know, now he's at GW, and it's something that I think we need to continue to talk about and focus on as a community. And I also say, you know, when you say simple, you know, Barbara, there's power in simplicity, and you get to the point, and that's, you know, the return on investment from that kind of communication and dialogue between government and industry, get better solutions, better outcomes, and better results for the American people. So I think I agree 100%. And I want to thank my guest today, Barbara Humpton. She is Senior Vice President for Business Development for Siemens Government Technologies. And you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.